The Chinese Communist Party doesn't seem to trust its own people to allow them to choose their own path for their souls.
The United States calls on China to stop its growing oppression of religion. It's Monday, April 1st. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, Vietnam's human rights in question. U.S. and North Korean negotiators cross paths in China. Chinese urbanization in the sea. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The United States is calling on China to stop what it calls its growing oppression of people of faith, noting the detention of a million ethnic Uyghur Muslims. VOA's diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain has the story from the State Department.
China is facing international condemnation for its mass detainment of ethnic Uyghurs and its crackdown on Tibetans and people of various faiths. Uyghurs and Tibetans have long sought to make people aware of their plight, including at this demonstration in Geneva late last year. China has brushed off the criticism, saying Uyghurs are in vocational education centers to stop the spread of religious extremism and a surge in terrorist attacks in the autonomous Muslim-majority region of Xinjiang. Omir Bekali says he is a survivor of a so-called Uyghur re-education camp before he fled to Turkey last year. He said the sole purpose of the camp was to strip him of his religious identity, and his only crime was being Muslim.
Having a beard is enough. Going to Friday prayers is enough. Reciting the funeral prayer is enough. Saying Salaamu Alaikum is enough. Everything can be a pretext.
The U.S. Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom, Sam Brownback, said churches are being destroyed and people's religious rights are being violated.
China is at war with faith, but it is a war they will not win. The Chinese Communist Party doesn't seem to trust its own people to allow them to choose their own path for their souls. There's over a billion people at stake here.
Brownback said the repression is worse since the Chinese Communist Party took control over religious issues. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo agrees.
This is, I think we use the word as words, historic human rights abuse, and we're working to convince the Chinese that this practice is abhorrent and ought to be stopped.
For Uyghurs and Tibetans separated from their families, increased pressure on China cannot come soon enough. Cindy Sain, VOA News, the State Department.
These are among some of the top Asia stories that you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Thais protest cheating election commission. United States and China face off over 5G in Cambodia. UN watchdog blasts Vietnam over repression and abuses. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia and also stop by the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington, and we continue with VOA Asia. A UN watchdog group condemns what it says is Vietnam's repression of basic freedoms and gross violations of human rights, including torture and executions for crimes that breach international law. The UN Human Rights Committee, which monitors the implementation of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, has examined the records of six countries, including Vietnam, during its latest session. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The Human Rights Committee has fulsome praise for Vietnam's economic achievements, but many criticisms regarding its abusive system of governance. It is worried by the dramatic increase in crackdowns against human rights defenders. Committee member Marsha Kran says human rights defenders are harassed, attacked, and held incommunicado in pretrial detention. She says some have received lengthy prison sentences on bogus charges, and some have been ill-treated in custody as well. Another area of concern is the reportedly high number of death sentences and executions in Vietnam. The committee has received reports that 85 people had been executed last year. Crown notes crimes against the state, drug-related crimes, economic and other crimes are punishable by death.
So the situation is that the number and the identities of persons sentenced to death are kept secret by the authorities, which means that it's possible for dissidents to be targeted and sentenced to death without due process. Others have died in custody, and we heard reports that these deaths are then reported by officials as suicide.
The panel of human rights experts is calling for a moratorium on the application of capital punishment or an abolition of the death penalty. The committee finds the Vietnamese government is making progress in passing new legislation. Crown tells VOA a number of laws have been passed that appear to be protective of human rights.
There's a new law on trafficking that prohibits forced labor. There's, in fact, in 2017, there was an amendment to the law on legal aid. So it expanded the list of persons who could access legal aid. There's also amendments to the Penal Code and the Criminal Procedure Code on the right to counsel at all stages of criminal proceedings.
Crown says the legal framework shows some signs of improvement on paper. Unfortunately, she notes, these laws are not being applied in practice. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
U.S. Special Representative for North Korea Stephen Biegun and North Korean official Ri Soo-young, chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee of the Supreme People's Assembly, crossed paths in Beijing last week, sparking speculation that they may be holding a back-channel discussion after the breakdown of the Hanoi summit in February. On Tuesday, Biegun met with Chinese Vice Foreign Minister Kang Xuanyu, who is the special representative on the Korean Peninsula affairs, after his arrival in Beijing Monday. Ri stopped in the city Tuesday en route to Laos. Ken Goss is director of the International Affairs Group at the Center for Naval Analysis.
It would suggest to me that the possibility of U.S. And North Korea interactions may be back on the table, at least some sort of back channel, and that China may be providing the venue for this back channel discussion to be had.
However, Gary Samar, the White House coordinator for arms control and weapons of mass destruction during the Obama administration, suggested Biegun and Ri were simply both there at the same time. The United States wants China to enforce sanctions and to nudge Pyongyang into resuming talks with Washington, while North Korea wants China to relax sanctions enforcement. The Beijing visits by Washington and Pyongyang came after each side signaled discontent with the other's position. On March 22nd, Pyongyang withdrew its officials from the Inter-Korean Liaison Office in Kaesong. That came a day after the U.S. Treasury Department issued sanctions on two Chinese shipping companies that it claimed to have helped North Korea evade sanctions. Dennis Wilder, the National Security Council's senior director for East Asia Affairs during the George W. Bush administration, thinks China cautioned North Korea not to go back to a provocative posture.
I think that the Chinese are telling them to be careful with the Trump administration. They're telling them to not to provoke. And I think the North has to listen to that because of the economic lever that the Chinese have over the North Koreans.
Samar thinks Trump attempting to reverse sanctions and Kim sending back his staff demonstrated that they each want to keep communication open.
Both Kim Jong-un and Trump want to preserve the diplomatic process they have begun. And, you know, both sides are showing, you know, signs of unhappiness and trying to create a situation to strengthen their bargaining position. But at the end of the day, neither side wants this process to collapse, which would mean resumption of testing and resumption of joint USROK exercises.
Our thanks to VOA's Christy Lee for contributing this story, and you'll find much more at voanews.com. Coming up, a growing city you've likely never visited. You're listening to VOA Asia. this news from VOA Asia. A small group of demonstrators protested in the Thai capital Sunday, accusing the Election Commission of delaying and manipulating results of last week's poll. The true outcome of the country's first election since the 2014 coup may not become clear before May 9th, when the Election Commission plans to release official results. Visit VOA Asia Facebook for more. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, a planned expansion of the biggest city in the once but all uninhabitable South China Sea will strengthen China's control over the waterway despite rival claims by five governments. The city of Sansha, anchored by a tiny tropical islet of the Chinese mainland, will, quote, obtain new breakthroughs in infrastructure, environmental protection, people's livelihoods, and integration of the military, according to the Municipal Communist Party Secretary Zhang Jun on the city's website. A population today of about 1,500 makes Sansha the largest city in the South China Sea and helps China control the whole Paracel archipelago. Taiwan and Vietnam also claim the Paracels. The Chinese government spars over sovereignty in parts of the South China Sea's Spratly Islands with Taiwan, Vietnam, Brunei, Malaysia, and the Philippines. Oe Sun, senior fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, says expansion of Sansha would bolster China's military and research advantages in the disputed 3.5 million square kilometer sea, in turn making its sovereignty claim more convincing.
To strengthen your case under international law that you exercise sovereignty over a stretch of land or sea, you would have to show that you have administration. You would have to show that there are people actually living there and then they are making a livelihood, for example.
Today, the city centered on Woody Island covers 10 square kilometers. That's enough for a hospital, a bank branch, and stores. Gregory Poling, director of the Asia Maritime Transparency Initiative under the Washington-based research organization Center for Strategic and International Studies, says Sansha has the role as both a military and civilian basing and logistics hub. A bigger city will let China expand ocean research at nearby islands, reinforce military installations, and develop tourism, analysts believe. Woody Island is already pivotal to Chinese military power in the resource-rich sea, according to CSIS. The other claimant countries lack China's military strength. Chinese officials cite historic documents to back their claim of about 90% of the sea, which stretches from Hong Kong to the island of Borneo. China and the five other governments that claim sovereignty value over the sea for its fisheries, shipping lanes, and energy reserves under the seabed. Growth of the city will give China a track record of administration over the islands, says Stephen Nagy, senior associate politics and international studies professor at International Christian University in Tokyo.
What we're seeing is China trying to build a case that fits in within the context of international law, and it erodes away the claims of other claimants within the region. It has the unique capacity based on its ability to build infrastructure in ways that Vietnam and Philippines and other claimants in the South China Sea can't do.
China lost a World Arbitration Court ruling to the Philippines over the disputed sea in 2016 because the court disagreed with the legal basis for its maritime claims. While it is thought other countries will probably say little, Trung Nguyen, International Relations Dean at Ho Chi Minh University of Social Sciences and Humanities, says Vietnam might just repeat verbal assertions of its claims to the South China Sea and possibly turn to foreign powers, including Western European countries, for help.
They will be waiting for goodwill behavior from China. I think that if China keeps pushing forward with their territorial expansions in the South China Sea, Vietnamese leaders, especially those who still are China-friendly, will realize that they have to find another way to counter against China.
Since the 2016 arbitration court ruling, China has kept peaceful ties with most other maritime claimants by offering them economic support. Our thanks to Ralph Jennings in Taipei for contributing this story. You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us on the internet. Of course, VOA Asia Facebook is a great place to go to hear our programs. And we're also heard on another Facebook page in Myanmar via VOA Burmese. We thank everyone there who's listened to our program today. We also like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Zainab Abdel-Rahman, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Have a terrific day.